Good to have you with us. Sure, I've heard of a few married men taking the road this weekend. Oh, the one or two is back again. Some guys are fishing this weekend, and they're very excited because there's no time limit. So, for the ladies, we guys sometimes need a little bit of space. Just if you didn't know it, sometimes we do. And it's good to give your man a bit of space every now and again, and then you can take the relationship to another level. Amen, guys? Amen. Okay. That's normally how it works. So the ladies having a good weekend. My wife says it's really been special, and she says yesterday afternoon, lots of the ladies were crying, so that's like a plus, that's a win. Feels like church, God is at work. And so this morning, I'm going to speak primarily to the guys. Ideas to share with the men. And so ladies, it will still bless you, I'm sure. It's relevant for everyone. But I want to focus on the guys. We've sent an email to say we're going to this morning speak to the guys. Okay, so where's my slide? Men of Courage, the Making of a Giant Slayer. Okay, so I want to speak a little bit about that and just touch on one or two things that I believe is key for us as men to go to another level in our lives. So inside of us, inside each of us, guys, but ladies as well, there's a desire to do something great. Inside of us, there's a desire to do something great, to do something significant. We wired like that. Each and every one of us are made in the image of God, and God is a great God. And so He's built into us, He's hardwired into us a desire to do something significant. And I think sometimes we, because of lies, we sort of forget that or ignore it. But something on the inside of us wants to do something significant. Don't know if anybody's seen the movie Wreck-It Ralph. It's an animation, very cute movie. But in the movie, there's this, it's sort of an arcade where the computer games or the arcade games come alive. It's like all the characters are like living organisms almost. And in the one game, it's a racing car game, there's this little girl, and she wants to be a racer. But everybody's joking with her and almost like and making her look silly and messing with her because she's a glitch. She glitches. She has a glitch. And so they're like nasty with her. And now Ralph, Wreck-It Ralph, they're now friends and... And she just says to him, I just know it's in my code. I'm a racer. It's in my code. That's what she said. It's in my code. I am a racer. But there's something happened and they all lost their memories. And her memory was lost. But she was an amazing racer previously. But she didn't know about it. But she had this feeling, this gut feel. In my code, I'm a racer. And it's in our code to do something significant, especially for the guys. Guys, we are made, we are designed by God to do significant things in this life. If we don't, we'll never feel as if we're living. We'll always feel as if we're just going through the motions, we become the couch potatoes. And if we don't have this cause, each and every one of us, we need a cause. And I remember as a teenager, I think it was grade 8 and 9 and 10. It was a tough time for me. It was a real mess. And I remember in that time as I was sort of trying to figure out who am I, my identity. And I remember in that time, it felt like people didn't have respect for me. It felt as if people were treating me like a nobody. But I remember having these evenings with my dad. And he would always speak to me as if I was someone. As if I was somebody. And I knew, even then I knew there's more to me. There's more to me. It's like, it's in my code. There's more to me. And I'm sure you have the same feel. There's more to you. There's more to each and every one of us. But I remember the power of the effect of my dad speaking into my life and treating me like someone. We all need that. We need someone to treat us, to speak into us as if we're someone. And that someone is our Heavenly Father more than anybody else. People might not see who we are, but the one who made you and designed you, He knows who you are. Chris Vallotton said, "I was saved when I believed in Him, but I was transformed when I realized that He believes in me. I was transformed when I realized that He believes in me." Every dad believes in his boy. And so your Heavenly Father believes in you. Even if you don't have a relationship with God this morning, even you are far from Him, there's a God that wants to reveal to us who we truly are. Now this weekend, my boy and I, we were having a boys' weekend, which was great. And even in a man, we are made for a mission. Guys, we are made for a mission. We are made for war. We are made for a battle. When my 4.5-year-old, he watches Kung Fu Panda. Afterwards, he is the panda. You know, he is kicking and jumping and screaming. He is wild. Because it's in him. It's in us as men. We're looking for a fight. We need a fight. And over this weekend, I bought these guns, like pellet guns, but has this little arrows that shoot out. So I bought a few for me and my son. And so we were jumping around and running around in the house, hiding, seeking, and then shooting one another. And if I'm honest, I enjoyed it. It was good. There's something in you that wants to take a gun and you want to shoot somebody, but not like dead. Not killing anybody or hurting anybody, but there's something, there's a wiring inside of us that we need a cause. A man wants to fight for something. We want to. And that cause, that mission, it causes us to break out of our passivity. A man without a mission, a man without a cause becomes passive. We often see that in people, in the guys in their workplace, if they don't have, if their career isn't going somewhere, if they're not finding fulfillment in the workplace, then often one can just fall back into passivity. So a giant slayer. I believe an extraordinary man is the man who takes out his giants. An extraordinary man is the man that takes out his giants. So what type of giants are there? For each of us, it might be something different. It might be a crisis that you're facing, a crisis that's staring you in the face, a giant speaking to you, telling you, you're not going to overcome this, this will overcome you. Fear speaking to us. It might be sinful tendencies or our own destructive behavior that could be our giant. It could be gambling, alcohol. It could be pornography. It could be whatever. It could be something leading us astray. Ladies, maybe eating habits or whatever. It could be something it's something that's staring you in the face, and it's your giant. And you just know that if you don't overcome this giant, you'll never be somebody extraordinary. This thing will take you down. If you don't take it down, it will take you down. And so each and every one of us has a giant, or more than one giant. Something that's we're facing, something that's staring us down. The extraordinary man takes it out. Maybe it's relational chaos. Broken relationship upon broken relationship. Maybe that's your giant. Maybe your career is not going anywhere. Maybe that's your giant. Just you're so frustrated in the workplace. You say, I'm not going anywhere. Don't know what's going on. You know, I just don't feel like somebody significant because of my work environment. And sometimes these things feels like insurmountable obstacles. It's intimidating. Or maybe you're sitting here this morning and saying, well, I don't really have any giants. No crisis, no challenge really. Everything's fine. Well, then I want to challenge you in saying, well, you don't have a mission. A man with a mission will face giants. If you're not facing any giants, then I want to say that you're a couch potato. You're not stepping out. You're not trusting God for something. You haven't found a cause. Because when you find a cause, when you say, this is my promised land, this is the land I'm going to take, there's giants there. There will be giants. You're not facing giants? Find a mission. Find a cause to live for. So a crisis sometimes is the thing that wakes up a man. Sometimes it takes a crisis. It's almost like the crisis chose us. That's what I've experienced in my life. Sometimes I've been going fine, everything's fine, and then I hit a crisis, and the crisis is my pivotal moment. Because either I'm going to give way, or it actually launches me to another level. How do you face challenges? Does it launch you? There's a guy, a well-known Prime Minister of Britain, Winston Churchill, during the Second World War. Now, today, people say he was an extraordinary man. He overcame his giants, and as a nation, they overcame their giants during that war. Now, Winston Churchill said, he had a few great quotes. He said, "We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be." Such a little island, isn't it? Empire of the world, weird. Brits are coming back. Ay, ay, ay. "We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender." Oh, that psychs one up, eh? You want to grab a sword and chase somebody. All the men would agree. But they overcame their giants. But I so relate with this. Says, we shall never surrender. How do we face our giants? How are you facing your obstacles or your crises? The same man said, "I may be drunk, miss, but in the morning I will be sober and you will still be ugly." He wasn't a saint, okay? Churchill wasn't a saint. He was a bit of a drunk. But he had some great quotes. Challenges can be seen as a giant. Challenges, our crises, can be seen as a giant. Are we ordinary or will we be extraordinary? Will we take down our giants or will our giants take us down? And how do we do that? How do we become a giant slayer? How do we position ourselves in a place where we can actually take down the obstacles facing us? So I want to give us a few ideas around this. But another cool quote by Winston Churchill. He said, "Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts." It is the courage to continue that counts. And that's a foundational point I'm going to touch on in a moment. But I want to take you to another extraordinary man from history, a general of Israel, 1400 BC, 3400 years ago, a new general was appointed for Israel, and his name was Joshua. And to give you some background, Joshua was standing on the edge of the promised land, or Israel as it's known today. He was standing on the edge of the promised land, and he had a promise. God said, "This is the land that I'm giving to you and your people." 40 years before this, they were slaves still in Egypt. For 300 years, they were slaves in Egypt. They cried out to God, "God, save us." God raises up Moses. Moses goes, delivers Egypt with a mighty hand, leads out hundreds of thousands of people out of Egypt on their way to the promised land. And then things went squirrely. They came to the promised land. They were intimidated. They became complainers. They became negative. They didn't have the faith to take the land. The result is a whole generation died off in the wilderness as they were circling for 40 years. And now they're back. And God is saying, Joshua, it's time to take your promised land. And I can just imagine the man was intimidated. I mean, they were going to take a country that had fortified cities. They had people with strong armies. They were technologically advanced. They were just a bunch of slaves from Egypt. And they were circling for 40 years in the wilderness. Now they're standing at the edge of the promised land and God is saying, go. God said, go pick a fight. Huh? Sounds like Braveheart. Guys, Braveheart. Go pick a fight. And so God is saying to him, Joshua, go pick a fight. Go take the land. And so this land had giants, this land had armies, this land had fortified cities. And God is saying, go. You see, now every man with a mission, every man with a cause will face that same thing. It's like, God, are you sure? If you look at the facts, you will be intimidated. You will be really, really challenged. And so in the midst of that, God speaks this to him. Joshua 1 verse 6. God begins to give Joshua the keys to become a giant slayer. The keys to lead this nation into victory. It says, be strong, Joshua, and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So on the one hand, God is saying, Joshua, I've made a promise to these people. This is their land. Now go and fulfill that. But more than that, he says, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land. I believe the key for an ordinary man to become an extraordinary man is to realize that your mission is not for yourself. It is for others, for the sake of others. Guys, every man, every decision you make does not only affect yourself, it affects the people around you. It affects your wife to be, your kids to be. It affects the people around us. Every man is a leader. Ladies, now you also can be leaders, but I'm speaking to the men. Every man is a leader. We have a responsibility. Every action, every word we speak, everything we do has an effect, has an impact. When you stuff up your life, you're not just stuffing up your own life. You're affecting others as well. There's a price. And there's also a glorious responsibility. God speaks to Joshua and he says, for to this people you shall divide as inheritance. I can imagine Joshua standing there and he's looking at his own kids and his wife and the other children, other people, his friends and family, and he's about to pick a fight with armies who could destroy them. The key for you and me, for us men to arise to another level, is to realize it's not about me. All the parents in the house will understand this. When you have that little one, everything changes. You will dive into the water after that crocodile. You will put your arm into the crocodile's mouth to save your boy. You will give your life. And I believe that's the most powerful motivation on the face of this earth, the love of God in a man's heart for others, compassion. It launches us to another level. It causes us to make the right decisions. It empowers us to put the freaking TV off when we need to put it off. It empowers us to click, to go when on our internet and your mouse wants to go where you don't want to go. It gives us the power to say, me and my mouse, we will serve the Lord. It gives us the power because you know that whatever you do will affect your family, your kids, and the people around you. Everything we do has a consequence. Everything we do. So if you don't want to get a mission for yourself, get a mission for the sake of others. Get a mission for the sake of others. You need to embrace this mission. A giant slayer is a man motivated by his love for others. Guys, we need to lead. Men, we need to lead. The ladies will follow. In our marriage, I need to lead. In our family, I determine the atmosphere in the house. I lay the standard. You should be laying the standard. We as men should take responsibility for what's working or what's not working. And it affects the generations after us. A selfish man cannot be a giant slayer. A selfish man cannot be a true giant slayer. Not in the areas that matter. He might win battles out there, but he won't win the battles at home. And those are that what truly matters. I mean, look at someone like Joos van der Westhuizen. He is a man who won the Rugby World Cup in 1995. But in the process, he's lost his family twice because of giants in his life that he could not overcome. A selfish man cannot be a giant slayer. It seems that God at this time is working powerfully in his life. I don't think the sickness is of God that Joost is going through, but God is using it. God is using it. There's no greater power to cause a man to step up than compassion. Great men arise in the midst of a crisis for the sake of others. Really want to encourage you. It forces us, the crisis forces us to make a choice and for their sake arise. I knew when my wife was pregnant with Vian, I knew I needed to step up. Before my boy was born, my wife would tell me, you must eat your vegetables. Because if you don't eat your vegetables, your son will not eat vegetables. I said, he will, I will tell him to eat his vegetables. Over the years, I'm now eating my vegetables, and praise God, my son is eating his as well. They don't do what we tell them, they do what we show them. They do what we show them. Guys, we need to show the way, not just speak the way. And so we need to overcome. If there's sin or sinful tendencies, we need to overcome. It takes courage to admit I have a problem. So many men have things in this in the dark. There's a giant, but it's a giant in the dark. Nobody knows. But the man's battling his things there in the dark. Whatever it may be, gambling or alcohol or whatever it may be. It takes courage to say, I need help. And I want to encourage you guys. Step up and speak. Step up and speak. And the good news is, the ultimate giant slayer, Jesus Christ, took out sin on the cross. The giant of sin, he took him apart on the cross. He has won it for us, and so by faith in him, we can also win. But the key is this, never give up. There's an account of Winston Churchill, where he was invited to come and speak. I think it was like at a university, like at Cambridge or Oxford. He was invited to speak to all the students, and everybody was so excited because it was after the war, and everyone was excited. This is Winston Churchill, and so they're so expectant of what he would say. And so when the time came, he got up, he walked to the microphone, and he spoke, and he said, "Never, never, never give up." And then he sat down. And I want to say that to each and every one of us. Never, never, never give up. You might have stumbled 1,000 times over the same giant. You might have battled with the same issue over and over and over again. Never give up. I so want to echo the disciples' words in John chapter 6. Where Jesus was preaching and he offended everybody. Everybody was leaving and he looked at his disciples and he said, are you going to leave as well? Peter, you guys going to leave as well? And Peter answered, said, where to shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Where shall we go? So maybe you're battling with something. Maybe you are facing a crisis. Where to shall you go but to God? There is no other way. There is no other life. There is no other source. And so over the years, I've hit my crises and my downs and my disappointments. And now I remember I just sit and say, okay, God, I don't know where to go. It's you. There's no other way. There's no other place. I'm just going to come back to you. I'm just going to get up. I'm just going to follow you. I don't understand what's just happened. I don't understand why these people did this to me. I don't understand why it's so painful. What, am I going to get offended, walk away from Jesus? No. I'm going to get up and I'm going to follow. Never, never, never give up. Never give up. A giant slayer is strong in the Lord and of good courage. Let me read that verse to you again, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. It's like God's commanding him, be strong and of good courage. For to this people, for the sake of this people, be strong and of good courage. I've made them a promise, Joshua. Get up. Go for it. And so, I've found that sometimes when we face our giants, do you know what happens? We change that verse to, be selfish and a good complainer. No, be strong and of good courage. Have you found yourself complaining and blame shifting? Complaining and blaming. You find yourself in a crisis. You feel it's not my fault. Somebody else did this. If they didn't do this, then I would never be in this situation. And also, I'm angry. So many excuses we can make. Blaming and complaining. The economy in the Eastern Cape. It's horrible. That's why our business is battling. So we complain. If she didn't do this to me, I would never be in this situation. If they didn't backstab me there, I would never be in this situation. If only we had more resources or more this or more that. And you missed the point. You're standing in front of the giant. Take the giant out. Stop making excuses. Trust God for overcoming the giant instead of just complaining and complaining, complaining. And what happens is it disconnects you from God. You're no longer strong. You're selfish and a complainer. Not strong and of good courage. So it's a good way to test yourself where you're at. Just listen to yourself speak. Are you complaining? Finding fault when you hit your crises? I've been experiencing this the last month or two. I found myself complaining over and over again because this is not my fault. And I'm completely missing the point because I can't do anything about the past. I can't do anything about those factors, but I can tackle my giant. I can tackle this challenge. So one could say things like, other churches, you start comparing. Other churches, now that church and that church, they have so many staff members, they have all these resources, they have so much momentum. If only I had that, then. You as a business, maybe as a business owner, as an employee, you might say, that business, they have the right products and the momentum and the resources and the staff and the marketing, and we have all these challenges. Our overheads are so much. Excuses. Comparing, which leads to complaining, and then you're no longer strong in God, and you're not going to overcome your challenge. This is key. Do not underestimate the power of complaining to disconnect you from God. I mean, that's what happened in Numbers 13. You can read it for yourself. The Israelites, there were 12 guys sent out into the promised land. They went out to spy the land. And then they came back. Two of them were, one was Joshua, the other one was Caleb. The other 10 were extremely negative. They were like, oh no, these giants are too big. Oh no, these fortified cities are too big. We cannot do this. Caleb said, we are well able. Let's do it. We are well able. Let's go for it. But the complaining and the negativity spread like a cancer. Everybody else became negative and complaining, and it cost them 40 years, and a whole generation died out. Why? Of complaining. Complaining is like a poison. It is. It disconnects you from God. It takes your eyes off Jesus, off God, off His ability, onto the issues. And then we sink like Peter walking on water. We look away from Jesus. We look at the waves, and we start sinking. So what are you speaking? It's a miserable place to be. Complaining, negative, fault-finding. It's terrible. So I've apologized to the Lord. I've said, no more complaining. No more fault finding. My goodness, I serve an awesome God. And how do you start that? You start speaking what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, let the weak say, I am strong. The who? The weak say, I am strong, but you're not strong. But say it. Because then you access His grace, you access His strength, you access His power. So you might feel weak. You might feel down and out. You might feel, I'm not overcoming my giant. You start saying, no, I am strong. I am able in God to overcome every obstacle, every challenge. A giant slayer. You see, what sometimes happens is we so dwell on the past. We are so bound to the past. Either not able to forgive others who have hurt us, offended us, backstabbed us, whatever it might have been, stuff that's happened that's placed you in a bad spot, that unforgiveness binds us to the past. And what the result is, you miss out the opportunities that's right in front of you. So many people are not living now because they're so focused on stuff from the past. And for some of us, our challenge is we can't forgive ourselves. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Some of us come to God and we are so disappointed in ourselves that we can't connect with God. And you're missing out on the opportunity right now. Forgive yourself, get up, be strong and courageous. Why? For the sake of your wife, for the sake of your kids, your future wife, your future kids, for the sake of the people around you. Stop blaming. Amen. Get up. Get up. Joshua 1 verse 5. A giant slayer. It says there, God speaks, this is beautiful. This is so powerful. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Such a powerful promise. God speaking to Joshua, saying, Joshua, no man, no woman, no giant, no one can stand in front of you and stop you from fulfilling what I've called you to fulfill. This is so powerful. Why? Because Joshua is a great guy. No, because God is with him. When God is with us, we will succeed despite others, and we can succeed despite us. I really want you to get this. You see, when it comes to fault finding and complaining and negativity, we're always looking at, that's one's fault, or even my fault, or we're looking at reasons why not. God comes to Joshua and says, Joshua, you're going to succeed. Not because you're bright or amazing or strong or awesome, but because I'm with you. Because I'm with you. But because I'm with you. Despite what anybody else could ever do to you, you will succeed. All of your life, no man shall stand before you because I am with you. And I want to add this, despite us. So often we fall for the lie, if I do everything perfectly, then God will bless me. No. If God is with us, despite our mistakes, despite our faults, despite our issues, we will succeed despite our weaknesses, failures, or sins. How's that possible? How? You might ask, how? Okay, how? How can God be with me if I don't do everything right? Surely that's the prerequisite. Do everything right and God will bless me. No. Trust in God. Have faith in God. And He will give you the grace to live as you should. Trust. How beautiful the song we sang where He said, God, I trust in You. I trust in You. The scripture says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So you're in your crisis. You're facing your giant. Partly it's your own fault. Partly it's other people's faults. Call upon the name of the Lord. Say, God, save me. God, be with me. That is the essence of the cross of Christ. All of our failures, all of our sins disappear in the cross of Christ when we call upon the name of the Lord. All of our failures, all of our sins disappear as we put our trust in Jesus Christ. That's the power of the cross. Stop trying to persuade yourself why you don't qualify, why this won't work for you. I'm not smart enough, outgoing enough, I don't have sufficient finances. Joshua was a conqueror. Not because of anything about him, but about everything about who was with him. Everything about who was with him. Who was with him? God. And that is the defining thing. And what blesses me is that it's a New Testament scripture where Jesus speaks to every one of us. He gives us a promise and He says, I will be with you. And lo, I am with you until the end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's beautiful. Receive that promise. So I want to end off with this verse. It gives us two keys to access. As I said, the first one, call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord and He will be with us. And then Joshua 1 verse 8. God speaks to Joshua and He gives him a few keys. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This book of the law. There's something about the Word of God. There's something about the Scriptures. That it's alive. It is powerful. God says, get it in your mouth. Stop the complaining. Stop the negativity. Stop the fault finding and blame shifting. And get the Word of God in your mouth. It is living and powerful. It is living and powerful. There's something about Scripture that you can't define. But as you read it and as you start speaking it, it does something to us. Have there been times in my life where I have been like, oh, I don't know how we can do this. And then that word will just come. I'd read somewhere, maybe randomly, and then God would just speak to me through one of those verses. And it would redefine me. It would redefine my outlook. It would redefine how I speak. And I would just take that promise and I would start speaking it. Are you speaking the promises of God? It's like somebody said, you won't have it just because you say it. But you can't have it if you don't say it. You won't have it just because you're saying it. There are other factors involved. But you can't have it unless you say it. And so God spoke to Joshua and He said, speak. David and Goliath. I'm sure you know the story. The giant, David approaches the giant. The giant speaks to him. The giant tells him, I'm going to cut you down. And he curses his God. And he says, I'm going to kill you today. And so often our crises and our challenges speak to us. You're not good enough. You're not able. Who do you think you are? Etc. What does David do? Well, he got some stones and he was about to take the giant out. He ran at him and he spoke to the giant. He told him, this day, I'm going to cut you down. This day, I'm going to take you out. Why? Because God is with me. I come to you not in my own name. I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. And this day, Israel will know there is a God in this place. Are you speaking to your giants? Are you speaking to your work situation? Are you speaking to your marital situation? Are you speaking? Are you taking the words of life and speaking it over your situation? Or are you passive? Or even worse, negative and complaining? Start taking the word of God and declare it. It says, let this not depart from your mouth. Another example would be, I really want to encourage you to do this. Say, every day, get up and say, I expect to see the goodness of God today. I expect to see the goodness of God revealed today. Do you know when you speak those words, you partner with God so God can step into and onto the scene. A giant slayer speaks to his giant. A giant slayer speaks to his giant. A giant slayer speaks. Start saying, I am a Holy Spirit magnet. God wants to be with me. He loves to be with me. Because underlying inside of us, often there's this feeling, I've not done enough, I'm not good enough, so God doesn't want to be with me. No, you must just start declaring the truth. By the blood of Christ, God wants to be with me. Because of the blood of Christ, I'm pure and clean. And God wants to be with me every moment of the day. And you open the door for Him to be with you. So guys, do you have a mission? Do you have a cause that you're fighting for? Do you? For the sake of your family, for the sake of those who are to come, for the sake of others in church, do you have a cause? Or are you just passively going through the motions day by day by day? You will not be an extraordinary man, you will be an ordinary man. You need a mission, okay? For the sake of others. Do you have a mission? And then how are you tackling that mission? What are you speaking? And then the last bit of that verse. It says, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. A giant slayer speaks words by faith and a giant slayer acts by faith. He acts, he steps out in obedience. He walks out. I just want to end off with this. Before you step out to do something, what do you wait for? Do you wait until you have enough faith? I'm going to wait. I'm going to pray. I'm going to wait until I feel I have enough faith and then I step out. Is that how it works? No, it doesn't work like that. You get a word, you get an idea of what is the will of God, and you step out without having all the faith. Because your faith grows as you go. I've seen this over and over again. We feel God is saying, let's go on a missions trip to India. I have not lots of faith for this. But we just start walking it. And as you start walking that journey, your faith grows and your faith grows and your faith grows. It's the same with finances. You might never have sufficient faith. But when you step out to give as God leads you, then you see the Lord's faithfulness and your faith grows. Just do it. Nike, they stole it from us. Just do it. Just do it. Just step out. That's like David. Young man, 16-year-old man. The armies of Israel are terrified with this giant that's like telling them, where's somebody to fight me? And David says, I'm going to do it. He doesn't think a lot about it. He gets his rocks and he goes. He runs at the giant and he cuts him down. Sometimes you just need to do it. Just do it. Don't think about it. Just do it. Nike. Hallelujah. So, to end off, what words are you speaking? Complaining or blaming? Are you speaking those words to open the door for God to move on your behalf? And are you stepping out? I still want to encourage you this week. We are praying every day. Encourage everybody to pray every day. To put out 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or hour or so. And then we're fasting Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Why not fast around a cause? Okay, God, I'm bringing before you these giants. I'm bringing before you these crises. God, I'm bringing before you these things. make me an extraordinary man. I can take these giants out. In Jesus' name. Amen.